This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Beth Voorhees. Tomorrow, West Virginians will head to the polls to cast ballots in the state's primary elections for offices from local mayors all the way up to the President of the United States. All three presidential candidates made stops in West Virginia last week, starting with Hillary Clinton's events in Williamson and Charleston, and ending with Donald Trump's rally in Charleston that drew more than 10,000 supporters. Democrat Bernie Sanders made his second trip to West Virginia Thursday, traveling to McDowell County, South Charleston, and Morgantown. Ashton Mara spoke with Senator Sanders Friday as he reflected on his time in the state.
So I would like to start with your trip to McDowell County yesterday. That was the first trip a presidential candidate has made to the county since John F. Kennedy 6 decades ago. And you visited a food bank, you spoke about poverty, and of course, McDowell County is one of the poorest counties in the nation. So what was your takeaway from that visit? Did you meet anyone whose story really stuck with you?
Well, first of all, I was deeply impressed by the courage and the decency of the people who showed up at the food bank. We must have had 250 or 300 people show up. These are people who are fighting against incredible odds. As you've indicated, McDowell County is one of the very poorest counties in the United States of America. Unemployment, very, very high. Drug addiction is a major problem directly related to a serious crime problem. That particular food bank is feeding thousands and thousands of people, and that's the only way that many of the people in the area get their food. And the reason, Ashton, that I went to McDowell County is not only to talk about poverty in West Virginia, but to talk about an issue that we don't talk about enough as a nation, and that is the fact that in the richest country in the history of the world, which is what we are today, 47 million Americans should not be living in poverty, and that we should not be having the highest rate of childhood poverty of almost any major country on earth. That's wrong. And if elected president, we are going to change our national priorities so that we don't give tax breaks to billionaires and ignore the problems of people in McDowell County or in Detroit, Michigan, or any place else.
Senator, you talk about income inequality a lot on the campaign trail, but you also talk a lot about climate change. And in the past, you've said you're against both using coal and fracking for natural gas to produce energy. And those are two major industries in West Virginia. So how do you come to a state like this and convince people to vote for you when your energy policies are opposite of what many people believe and the industries that a lot of people depend on?
Well, I think if you look at the climate change legislation that I have introduced, we put $41 billion into providing jobs and rebuilding communities that will be impacted by a transformation of our energy system. Look, Ashton, the debate is kind of over with regard to climate change. The scientific community is virtually unanimous. Climate change is real. It is already doing devastating harm to our planet and to our country, and it is caused by human activity. And I think the people of West Virginia and every other state in this country want to make sure that the planet we leave our children is healthy and habitable. But you know what? The cause of that problem is not the coal miner. It's not the people who are working in the fossil fuel industry. It's not their fault. And that's why we have put $41 billion into making sure that when people lose their jobs, or if they lose their jobs, they will be able to get the extended unemployment that they need, the job training they need, and why we are going to reinvest heavily into those communities. Look, in McDowell County, the decline of coal took place decades and decades ago, and yet nobody has done anything to rebuild that community. I intend to make sure the people in McDowell County and in other counties hit by a transformation of our energy system and other counties around this country who are not producing any energy. But we have too many poor counties in America, and we have got to invest in those counties and create decent-paying jobs.
Senator, just one last question. You've now been to West Virginia on 2 separate occasions, held 4 events, I should say, here. When you compare that to previous presidential candidates, that's actually a lot of time for a state that has a few number of delegates, a few number of electoral votes. Why spend so much time in West Virginia?
Well, I love West Virginia. I really do. It's a state of tough people, people who are fighting back against very difficult odds today. And it is people who understand that establishment politics and establishment economics is just not working for the people of West Virginia or in fact for the people of this country. And I do believe, and we have had some great rallies around the state, that the people of West Virginia want a government that represents all of us and not just wealthy campaign contributors or just the 1%. So there's going to be, as you know, a big primary on Tuesday. I hope that there is a large voter turnout. And if the turnout is high, I think we stand a pretty good chance to win West Virginia. And that would be very, very important for my campaign.
Donald Trump told West Virginians last night in Charleston not to turn out on Tuesday. They don't need to vote. Do you disagree?
Well, that's a wonderful thing to say about democracy. People fought and died to make sure that all of us have a right to determine the future of this country. And Mr. Trump is suggesting that people should not vote. I think that that is an absurd remark. I think it's an insult to the men and women who put their lives on the line to defend American democracy. So my response is very different. I hope as many people in West Virginia as possible come out to vote.
Senator, thank you so much for your time today.
Okay, thank you.
Ashton Mara speaking with Senator Bernie Sanders. To keep up with all of West Virginia Public Broadcasting's election coverage, visit our website, elections.wvpublic.org. While you're there, check out the profiles we aired last week of all five of the candidates for West Virginia's Supreme Court of Appeals. As a reminder, tomorrow's primary is the only time you can vote for judicial officers this election year in West Virginia. Again, that's elections.wvpublic.org. This is West Virginia Morning. It's coming up on 7:51. Mostly cloudy today with a chance of rain, especially across the northern half of the state. Temperatures in the 60s and 70s. A chance of rain tonight with lows in the 50s. A chance of rain and thunderstorms tomorrow. Highs remaining in the 60s and 70s. Rain and thunderstorms are likely on Wednesday.
Support for this weather forecast is provided by Erie Insurance, putting service first since 1925. Local agents are available at erieinsurance.com.
College campuses are often thought of as microcosms of society in so many ways. And when it comes to politics, the notion tends to hold up. On the campus of Marshall University, students are picking and choosing sides in the presidential race and estimating the impact the candidates will have on student voter turnout. Clark Davis reports.
Just like the general public, Marshall University College students have picked their sides when it comes to which presidential candidate they'll vote for.
I would still vote for Hillary over Donald Trump because he fundamentally, everything I think is wrong with this country.
That's Gretchen Fleming. The Marshall University student was at the Bernie Sanders rally in Huntington last month. Her opinion is pretty common on the Marshall campus. Many students say they'll vote for their favorite candidate in the primary, but stick with the party nominee in the general, no matter who it is. Sophia Mills is a Democrat who says both Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton present strong candidates for the Democratic Party.
But I mean, personally, as a Democrat, I feel that we have two strong candidates, and I'm proud of the way we're conducting our race. Like, we actually focus on policy issues and not on personal attacks. So at the end of the day, I think that our nominee is going to be a substantive one.
Ethan Higginbotham is a Sanders supporter, who says that the groundswell of support for Trump could mean more college students will come to the polls.
I think it's actually playing on both sides. I think you've got a lot of people who are coming out to make sure that someone like Donald Trump doesn't get into the White House. But at the same time, you can't deny that Donald Trump has tapped into something, and he's tapped into the silent majority on the right. And that's terrifying, honestly. So I think we need to put our best candidate forward to go up against Trump.
But getting young people out to vote has always been a challenging task. This year, however, the contentiousness of the presidential races have pushed young voters to hit the polls. In neighboring Maryland, youth participation increased in both party primaries, with 18% voting, up from 15% in 2008. On the Democratic side, Sanders received 68% of the youth vote in Maryland, a trend that is likely to be mirrored in young West Virginia voters. In Pennsylvania, 18% of all youth voters between the ages of 18 and 29 participated in their primary on April 26th. Young people in Pennsylvania preferred Sanders even though Clinton won the state, and 52% of the youth vote on the Republican side went to Trump. Students like Brittany Morgan say the support of Trump is a unique situation.
I think with Trump, the whole thing is he's so drastically different that people are betting on something that's just out there because they've seen what normal politics has done and nobody's happy with what's happened in the past like 12 to 15 years even. And so they're like, well, you know, we can't get any worse than this. Let's try something totally radical and new.
Nick Uliana is a Marshall University sophomore. He says as a Republican, he's not a Trump fan, but would vote for the outspoken candidate.
I would vote for Donald Trump just because if he got to that situation, just because I really don't like Hillary Clinton. I feel like she's a criminal, to be quite in my opinion.
During the previous presidential election in 2012, West Virginia had the lowest voter turnout of any state in the nation, with less than half of registered voters turning out to the polls. When it comes to 18 to 24-year-olds, less than 23% cast ballots in the race. But so far this election cycle, the Secretary of State's office says 30,000 more people voted during the first 7 days of early voting when compared to 2012. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Clark Davis in Huntington.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Keep up with all the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our producer is Ashton Mara. Our director is Chuck Anzalevich. I'm Beth Voorhees.